Hey, a very good morning to you. How are you this Sunday morning? It's October 11th, or the 11th of October. It's a lovely autumnal morning here in Salford. Welcome to Sunday View with me, the BBG. Going to be looking through the papers, and of course, I'll bring you the best of the mid-morning political talk shows as well. Join in on Twitter, at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Welcome to the programme.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
Always live. Can't beat a bit of life.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Oh, as usual, plenty to talk about, and I look forward to hearing from you during the course of the next hour. Sunday View had a nice weekend, although her indoors, the oft-mentioned future missus, not too thrilled about me taking the mickey out of her about the bird songs on Thursday, buying bird song CDs. I've been in the cold room, getting the silent treatment for the last couple of days. Don't take too well to having the mickey taking out of them, the French, Harry?
The French are assholes.
Exactly. That's what I said. Sunday, October 11th. Let's jump straight into the newspapers then and the front page of the Sunday People. Or will we have a tune? No. We'll get straight into the papers. Loads to talk about. Ordinarily take a tune now, but we'll have a tune in a few minutes. Sunday People leads with the new Maggie. That's the headline, the new Maggie. As the North faces up to tough new lockdown measures, Boris is turning into the new Maggie. And there's a rather striking image on the front page of the Sunday People of a mashup of Boris Johnson and Margaret Thatcher's faces. Not too pretty. Yeah, you won't be surprised. The Sunday Telegraph, millions will be ordered not to leave local areas. Now, this is important. Okay? Inside the Sunday Telegraph, the big story. Millions of people will be asked, it says, not to leave or travel outside of your local areas, and we could be banned from mixing with other households, even outdoors, as part of a three-tier local lockdown system, which apparently Prime Minister Boris Johnson is going to get into tomorrow. He's going to explain it tomorrow, allegedly. Yeah. Three-tier local lockdown system. Part of it will be the request. Well, it won't be a request. They're going to introduce it. Part of these statutory instruments. They're going to say you can't leave your local area without a very, very good reason. The Telegraph's cartoonist is somebody called Matt. And in today's cartoon, Matt jokes that economic data is ranked in three tiers now. Appalling, ghastly and apocalyptic. The Telegraph taking the viewpoint that the economy is being destroyed beyond repair. So local lockdowns going even further. People being told you're not to leave your local areas. Andrew Marr, the BBC political heavyweight presenter, yes, had Communities Secretary Robert Jenrick on the programme this morning. Well then, will we be stuck in, Salford, and prevented from leaving Salford in the near future? Robert Jenrick with Andrew Marr.
Well, the Prime Minister is going to make a statement to Parliament, so I think it's right that he makes clear those.
Your government has been briefing this to the papers all across the North. People want an answer to this. I ask you again, are you going to stop people leaving their local areas as part of these restrictions? Yes or no?
I'm not going to answer that. It's right that the Prime Minister informs the House of Commons what our strategy is. I've spent the weekend with the Prime Minister's advisor, Sir Edward Lister, with the Health Secretary, speaking to local council leaders, to the mayors.
Do they know the answer to my question?
We have set out proposals to them, and we're trying to co-design them with them so that things are not being done to local areas, they're being done with those communities. Yeah. And I think that's the way forward if we're going to build the greatest coalition of support for further measures over what's undoubtedly going to be a difficult autumn and winter.
Difficult autumn and winter, and we need a coalition of the willing. A coalition of the willing. We need people to be willing to have their lives ruined, their livelihoods ruined, their children's mental health ruined. We need people to be willing to go along with it. Why? to protect us all from the virus. So we might be asked to remain in our local areas and not travel outside them. So what about Labour's Lisa Nandy from Wigan? Lisa Nandy. Lisa Nandy, allegedly a socialist, of course she's not. Allegedly an anti-fascist, of course she's not really. The shadow foreign secretary, this is fascism. Do you agree, Lisa, that we need to be prevented from travelling outside of our areas? She was on with Andrew Marr too.
I mean, we've already had something akin to that already in parts of the north. In Greater Manchester, for example, when we went into lockdown at the end of July, there was a request that we didn't go and travel to places like Scotland, for example, from the SNP government there. So we have been living with this, to be honest, for quite some time. Right. We will support measures that get control of the virus. This is really, really serious now, and there are real concerns from our public health directors in the north that unless something is done right now, we're rushing into a headwind, as the Deputy Chief Medical Officer put it this morning. It would be a perfect storm. We've got to get control of it, but we need government to work with us, not against us, in order to make this happen.
What does any of that even mean, you know? We need to get control of the virus. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need government to work with us, not against us. You're supposed to be a fucking socialist, woman. Do you not hear the businessmen and women of the Northwest crying on local television and radio that their livelihoods are going down the toilet? Do you not hear them? Do you not know that the North and the Northwest and the Northeast have had draconian local lockdown measures imposed on them and have had those measures for weeks and weeks and weeks, and people are obeying them according to Ipsos Mori polls, according to the very mainstream media you're talking to? People are obeying them, yet the cases continue to go up, meaning lockdown doesn't work, meaning there's probably something wrong with the testing. What are you doing, you daft bint? Represent the people you're supposed to be looking out for. And don't be saying that you go along with locking people into Salford and telling them they can't travel to Bolton. Don't be saying that you think it's okay to close pubs at 10 o'clock. Socialist party. I mean, the things they're discussing on national television this morning couldn't be any more fascistic. And that fucking bint is going on telly saying, yes, give us more. But you know, the amazing thing about this is they're saying, yes, give us more lockdown, but also give us more money to give those businesses while we pay them to be closed. And who's going to pay that back, Nandy? Who's going to pay that back in the future? Yes, not you, not you, you cloth-eared bint, not you. It'll be me and my listeners paying it back forever and ever and ever. Bail-ins. Cashless society. We'll have some of your money, Richie. Why? Well, we're fucked. We borrowed £500 billion to pay for lockdown. Well, I don't want to give you any of my money. Tough shit, Paddy. We'll take it out of your bank account anyway. A socialist party saying, yeah, we agree with the government, but they're not doing it enough. They're not doing it quickly. Yeah, more lockdown. Come on, pile on the misery. And while you're doing that, keep borrowing from the Bank of England. Keep selling government bonds to massive corporations and impose a debt mountain on us that we'll never get out from under. Of course, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That fucker knows that people are obeying. This is the worst. The thing that really kills me, it's bad enough that people are obeying this stuff, and they are obeying it. Look at them in Tesco, in Sainsbury's. Look at these fucking zombies walking around with their masks on, pointing at people. Walking around like morons. And wearing a mask is like wearing, it's like having a chain link fence to stop a mosquito. Everybody knows that. Demanding more lockdown and more money to be borrowed. Do you understand what's going on, you know? Labour, imagine.
This happened.
David Greenhalgh this morning told me, though he hadn't seen the details, to be fair, that this was an oppressive measure. He thought it was oppressive, but you don't agree with that.
Well,
oppressive. The mayor he's referring to is a Conservative mayor, a very rare thing in the Northwest. He was on saying it's oppressive. She doesn't agree with it. More lockdown.
It is oppressive, of course it is, but it's also potentially necessary. And part of the anger here in the north of England is that it may now be necessary, but this was never inevitable. Back at the start of summer, we were urging the government to do a rapid review. The scientists did a rapid review. The Prime Minister couldn't even confirm that he'd read it. And then they had a wasted summer where they just didn't get any of the things...
I hope there's a day of reckoning for these people. And I do not mean violence. I abhor and utterly condemn violence. There must be a day of reckoning for these traitors in the future. There has to be. Whether that's that they're exiled to some fucking island in the South Pacific. They know what's going on, these people. They know this is tyranny on steroids. And yet they're enabling it. Because everybody with a brain knows that if the Labour Party wanted to win the next general election with a 400-seat majority, all it would need to do now is tell the truth. Keir Starmer, Tony Blair, Baby Blair. All he would have to do is tell the truth. This is nonsense. Just go on TV. This is nonsense. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. We'll help people that have got comorbidities. We'll keep an eye on them. We'll spend some money on that. But everybody else, just go back to normal. Fucking hell. Go back to normal. This is tyranny. Starmer would win at a landslide. You know, a landslide. At the next general election, 400-seat majority. Unheard of. If he came out and said, this Johnson is a goon, he's a fascist, as is that monkey, Matt Hancock, that he's got working with him. Arbitrary rules every second day, every third day. Make it 7 people. Change it to 5 people that you can talk to. Every second Wednesday of every month, you can see your granny. It's arbitrary bullshit. For a virus that doesn't affect 99.99% of the people on planet Earth. And it's getting worse. These measures, every day, getting worse. Jane Anna sent me a message. The controlled demolition of Western society continues apace. And what's worse, so many are actively supporting and assisting it. They are basically cheerleading most of the population, their own destruction, their own demise. And the collapse of the futures of their children and grandchildren. Every poll, and don't tell me that the polls are fixed. Listen, nobody is more suspicious of the media than me. You know who you're talking to here. I know people are going along with it. I know people want more of it. A lot of people are loving it. Particularly in southern parts of the country. They're loving it. Loving it. Loving what? They're loving being paid not to work. Not realising that the jobs are evaporating. Because of the bailout cash, the bounce back payments given to companies at the very outset of all of this. All of that stuff needs to be paid back. This isn't free money. So for many of these companies, there's no future. So these arseholes who cheered the NHS on a Thursday, were happy to sit home and drink wine of an afternoon during the week, happy not to go to work and be paid. They have no idea that there's nothing there for them. It's over. It's over for them. Cheerleading their own destruction, their own financial collapse. Individual people. So yeah, absolutely. More lockdown, says Labour. More lockdown, more lockdown, more lockdown. And what about a national lockdown then? Because the cases keep going up. We keep locking people in the northwest, in the northeast. We keep making things more austere and people are obeying. They really are obeying, but it doesn't matter. Cases are going up anyway and we know why cases are going up. The more people you test, the more cases you're going to get because the test is worthless, right? So if the cases keep going up, will there be a national lockdown? Back to the Community Secretary, Robert Jenrick.
Well, the number of cases, as you've heard, is rising across the whole of the UK, but it is very concentrated at the moment in some places in the northeast and northwest and some other cities like Nottingham. So it is right that we try to pursue a localised approach, and that's what we've been doing. And those are the conversations that I've been having with local mayors and council leaders over the course of this weekend.
But if it doesn't work?
Well, none of us...
None of us want a national lockdown, he's about to say. These new absolutely tyrannical measures that will be announced officially by Johnson tomorrow will not work. Why? Well, we know the virus isn't that virulent anyway. It isn't that much of an issue. It doesn't do anything to anybody apart from people who are very, very old, who are also unwell. 8 out of fucking 10 people get this thing and don't even know they have it. Whatever it is. The testing, the PCR tests, worthless. Picking up bits of anything, giving a red flag, finding coronavirus in people that don't have it. The more they test and the testing increases on a daily basis, the more cases they're going to find. These are not symptomatic people. These are not people with any sickness whatsoever. So these new draconian measures are not going to work. Of course not. And because of the testing. So a national lockdown, which will finish off whatever's left of the economy, is inevitable. Inevitable.
Want to return to a blanket national lockdown. At the moment, there are very wide variations. If you're in North Norfolk today, there are 19 cases per 100,000. If you're in Manchester or Knowsley, you're seeing cases north of 600 per 100,000. So I think it is right that we do everything we can.
Andrew Marsh should jump in here now and say, but those places have been basically subjected to very, 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 very stringent local measures. And they have been obeying them. Why then? Why is it the case that the more strict your measures are in the north, the cases seem to go up? Surely it's because of the testing. But he doesn't, because he doesn't do his job.
And to ensure that we have a localised approach, a proportionate and localised approach. And that's what we're doing. And the next phase of that is that in addition to the simple national rules, we have a framework so there's a degree of consistency in those local lockdowns, but also that we work very closely with the local leaders to ask them, are there particular measures that they think would be effective in their communities that we could support them on and help us to really bear down?
It's just nonsense. There's no need to hear any more of that. It is a nonsense. It is a nonsense. Robert Jenrick there, the community secretary. Boris Johnson will put the meat on the bones of all of this at some stage tomorrow. And if you're wondering, did the country's most watched political television show, Andrew Marr, did he mention the Great Barrington Declaration or the Edinburgh Study? Of course he didn't. In the 60 minutes he was on air today, he never mentioned the fact that thousands and thousands of scientists have signed the Great Barrington Declaration, declaring this to be insane, nor did he mention the Edinburgh Study, which was published on Thursday or Wednesday evening, again, which said this is insane and that the lockdown will kill far, far, far more people than any virus ever could or would. Andrew Marr didn't whisper, didn't even interject, didn't say at any stage to any of his guests, what about these scientists who say that this is going to kill us all? Not kill us all, of course, that's an exaggeration. What about these scientists who say that this is going to kill hundreds of thousands of people? Conservatively. No, he didn't do his job. Sunday Express, lockdown revolt hits Boris, is the front page headline there. Lockdown revolt from leaders in the north. This makes me laugh again. Mayors in the northwest of the country, mostly Labour mayors, by the way. Goons, these people, are not fighting for businesses to open and for the pubs and hotels and their staff. No, these Muppets want businesses to remain shut and they want the government to increase the payment to the employers to pay their employees. I mean, this is mental. They're not fighting for the rights of the businesses to open up and make money, these northern mayors. They're saying, give us more money to pay the employees to keep them furloughed. Listen to Jonathan Reynolds, Labour Party MP, the Shadow Work and Pensions Secretary, on Sophie Ridge today. Ridge says, does Labour support the 10 p.m. curfew for pubs?
We think we have to be restrictions in hospitality, yes. But the crucial point is there's got to be support with those restrictions. Look,
sorry,
in terms really of where infections are
I'm
taking
sorry,
place...
I'm sorry to come in again. I do apologise for coming in again, but I'm still genuinely not clear. Does Labour back the 10 p.m. rule or not?
Yes, we back restrictions in hospitality as long as they've got the economic support that should go with that. But as I said...
Oh my God, we back the restrictions in hospitality so long as they have the economic support for it. We back telling people that they have to restrict or reduce their operating hours, which will put a financial burden on them that's unimaginable. We back that so long as we keep borrowing money, not only from the Bank of England, our own bank, by the way, that's like, as a famous economist Steve Keen once said on this programme, that's like Richie borrowing from the fucking bank of Richie to pay for things that Richie likes and then paying the bank of Richie back at interest. It's insane. But anyway, I digress. Yes, keep them locked down, but give them the money. And of course, Sophie Ridge, nor does Andrew Marr, nor does anybody ask people like this guy, Jonathan Reynolds, what about paying for that in the future? Who's going to pay for it? And how are they going to pay for it? Did you see that insane situation in Scotland on Wednesday night in that pub? Did you see that? I tweeted a link out to a Daily Mail newspaper story about it. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Somebody from inside a pub in Scotland, an empty pub, took a photograph of maybe 100 people standing outside the pub, looking into the pub through the windows to watch the football. Why? Well, because the pub kicked everybody out at 10 o'clock. The Scotland-Israel game was still going on. It had gone into extra time. Tough shit. The fans were turfed out. And the fans stood there looking through the window, watching the fucking football and the penalties like zombies. I've never seen anything like it. Publican inside taking pictures. Publican is going under because of the restrictions and the reduction of the operating hours within which he can work, right? Right? 100 or so people outside the fucking pub looking in, looking at the telly, watching the penalties, freezing their fucking arses off. I mean, you've never seen anything like this. It's my turn at the window. Move over there, Hamish. Hamish, get out of the fucking way. It's my turn at the window. Madness. Madness. The Prime Minister, according to the Observer front page, PM betraying his red wall voters over lockdown. Cash. The threat of legal action, apparently. Andy Burnham and these mayors are going to take the government to court, saying that it's unfair that the government is only paying for 2/3 of wages and that they're punishing people in the north. Again, so-called socialists saying to a fascistic conservative government, keep people out of their places of work, yes, but give them loads of more money. I just, fucking hell, you know. Sunday Mirror, one local lockdown rule for them. Now this makes me laugh, this. If you are a regular visitor to Sunday View, you will remember last Sunday, the Sunday Times ran a story, which, I mean, one of the stories that should just blow the lid off the whole thing, right? Sunday Times ran a story last week that even though certain southern Tory constituencies had more cases per 100,000 people than some northern cities, the southern cities, because they were Tory, were not subjected to local lockdown measures. I mean, if anything made a mockery of the whole thing, that was it. Nobody picked up on it last week, really, apart from this programme. Well, the Sunday Mirror has gone after it again today. One local lockdown rule for them, dot, 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 dot. Fill in the blank. Sunday Mirror claims that leading Tory politicians are dodging lockdowns in their own backyards, despite soaring COVID-19 cases in those constituencies, while tighter restrictions are introduced elsewhere. Like I said, this isn't new. It was in the Sunday Times last week. Andrew Marr should have a big red face on him today, because last week he interviewed the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, whom was speaking, well, he was sitting opposite him. The virtual Conservative Party conference took place last week. Boris Johnson was sitting right across from Andrew Marr, and Andrew Marr decided not to bring it up. Hey, Bojo, why are some of your Tory constituencies with high caseloads per, high instances of cases per 100,000, why are they getting exemptions from measures, from local lockdown measures, while you're screwing people in the north? Of course, Marr didn't ask him, because he's pathetic. Here's Gerry Scott from the Yorkshire Post speaking to Andrew Marr today.
Yeah, so this is really interesting, isn't it? It seems to be the constituencies of some government ministers that have high rates of coronavirus infection but haven't gone into lockdown whilst other places have. So just to give you some examples, in Bolton, for example, and Calderdale, which were locked down, there were 26.78 cases per 100,000 and 35.94 kind of respectively on those. But if you look at Rishi Sunak's Richmond constituency, a Yorkshire constituency, that's had 74.45, so higher. Or Robert Jenrick, who I know you're speaking to later, he had 182.16 per 100,000 people, and they've escaped these measures. So it is interesting, and it does seem to show a bit of a divide. And actually, we saw that play out locally a bit as well in Bradford, where they've been under local restrictions for ages now. They, for a little while, did a ward-by-ward basis situation, and in Kirklees as well, where they were lifted out if they had lower rates. But it just became so confusing for people. Because who knows what council ward they live in, really? Some people don't know what constituency they live in, let alone what council ward.
Yeah, nobody knows what's going on. Matt Hancock makes the front page of the Mail on Sunday. Hancock has been accused of joining MPs in flouting the 10 p.m. bar curfew, according to the Mail on Sunday. They say the Mail alleges he was drinking in a Commons bar after 10 p.m. and that also he made a joke about the government's test and trace failings. That's the Mail on Sunday. Hancock's tasteless COVID test joke in bar. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show. Sunday View, live from Salford here in Greater Manchester. How you doing this Sunday morning? It's a decent looking morning in the northwest. Very autumnal. A little bit chilly, but very bright as well. The BBG, not the BBC, back with more news in a couple of minutes' time after this from the Doobie Brothers. Doobie Brothers on the Richie Allen Show, Sunday View. Listen to the music, great band. Saw the Doobies at the O2 Apollo about 2 years ago. And right up the front we were, me and the future Mrs. A, had a fantastic night. Don't depress yourself, Richie, you big baldy bollocks. Don't depress yourself. That might be a thing of the past now, you know. Going to watch the Doobies, great 70s rock bands. Might not be able to do that in the near future. I'm not trying to depress you. Cheer up, cheer up. We've got each other. We've got each other. Hi to Amy. How you doing, Amy? She says, Richie, Dino and Amy listening live from Sheffield in Dino's kitchen. Who doesn't love a bit of kitchen dancing? Kitchen dancing beats dad dancing, hands down. Said he before, I have no shame me when I go out and I dance. I couldn't give a damn. 6'6", gangly, skinny, all over the place, big bald head in me, no coordination whatsoever, no moves, no class. I couldn't give an arse. Hi to Satch. How you doing, Satch? Thanks for the tweet, mate. Really appreciate you tweeting the programme today. Hi to Rude Boy Marcus, who phoned in the programme the other week. How you doing, Marcus? Good to have you on board today, my friend. Richie, I could see hospitality was going to get the final kick in the balls. 5 million lost jobs, I reckon. Happy Sunday, says Marcus. Hi to Alan, my mate, Base Ninja. Richie, we need to disobey. We need to hound MPs with emails, etc. Find local people who think the same. Organise mass, non-mask shopping days. Well, he says, fuck the government. Scum, liars, perverts, criminals. They're not all perverts. I tweeted about this Friday. I can't remember. Why haven't Chambers of Commerce? Why haven't business federations gotten together and said, listen, we're going to open up en masse on Monday. We're going to open up en masse. Nobody is going to let us down. We are a union. Thousands of us will open up and we will put it up to the local authorities. What are you going to do if thousands of us open up and throw out those stupid fucking hand sanitizing stations? Throw them out in the street. Rip down the posters ordering people to wear masks. Non-compliance. We're going to open again and go back to normal and dare them to send their goon squads in to try and close us down. That's what should happen. But it isn't happening. And I don't know why. Hi to Jason. Hi to Karen Williams. Stay strong, Karen. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Hi to Wendy Ruth. And to Simon Barnett. How you doing, Simon? And to IT Bird. How you doing, pal? Leppa. Hi, Leppa. Hi, Gary. Gary says, Richie, you talk about the South, but there's hardly any bullshit cases here in the Southwest. Virtually zero deaths. But the masks are still everywhere, Richie. People jumping out of my way. People driving in the masks. What the fuck is it going to take for these morons to wake up, says Gary. Gary, you know what? Even when the inevitable financial ruin smacks them in the face, I still don't think they'll Wake up to it, Gary. Cognitive dissonance, mate. I don't understand. Hi to Richard Willardon, to Jonathan Royle, two gentlemen and two former guests on the Richie Allen Show. Now, at 8 o'clock tonight on YouTube, there will be a free screening. A free screening. We love a bit of free. We love a bit of free, don't we? Of Extreme Danger, Extreme Hypnosis, a documentary which I've been lucky enough to watch. It's very, very, very good, and it's very prescient. Extreme Danger, Extreme Hypnosis. Richard Willett, of course, heavily involved in producing it. Jonathan Royle, the man who presents it. It's on YouTube tonight. I've already tweeted a link out to where you can watch it. 8 o'clock, that would be 12 noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time in the US, 8 o'clock here in the UK. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that. Plenty more news in a moment after this. Stay with Sunday View. Don't go anywhere, because 'tis live.
Renowned healer Mark Byerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Byerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbyerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Massive thanks to Mark Byerski as well for what he did last week and helping to raise nearly £1,000 for the Richie Allen radio show. Wonderful guy. MarkByerski.com has been basically raffling a collection of crystals and memorabilia for and on behalf of the programme. Can't say enough about him. Right, welcome back. 24 minutes to the top of the hour. It's a lively old show today, KA.
Fabulous.
It's all good.
It's all good. Remember, though,
don't kill Granny.
Don't kill Granny. The biggest story today in the national media, the national broadcast media, is the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, Professor Jonathan Van Tam. I think he was in Time Cop and Bloodsport, or maybe King of the Kickboxers, I can't remember. But apparently now he's the Deputy Chief Medical Officer these days. Chris Whitty would be his boss. We've reached a tipping point, says Professor Jonathan Van Tam, in coronavirus. And we're basically at the point that we were in March. We're all going to die. More deaths are inevitable. We better start obeying the fucking restrictions, says Professor Jonathan Van Tam. Whatever his name is. And this is big today, this story. Here's Sky News, Kate McCann, speaking about Professor Jonathan Van Tam.
So that's why Jonathan Van Tam's message today applies to everybody across the country when he says the NHS can only do so much and it needs the support of everyone around the country doing things like washing hands, keeping away from people as much as possible, that 2 metre rule, and also, of course, wearing masks where we are asked to do so. The concern is if people ignore those rules, then hospitalisations will get out of control again over that winter period and the NHS may well not be able to cope. We've all heard about those concerns about the 10 o'clock curfew, particularly in big cities. Some of those I've mentioned already, but in Piccadilly Circus in the capital last night, there were some scenes which have caused some real concern among scientists.
It really does feel like we are in an episode of Black Mirror or The Twilight Zone. I regularly pinch myself, regularly, to say, we're not living through this, are we? Here's a Sky News reporter, a young woman, in her, I would say, in her late 20s, early 30s. A rather fetching young filly, it must be said too. Marvellous. Fetching young filly. And here she is, talking about scientists being concerned about young people on a Saturday night in Piccadilly Circus.
To cope. We've all heard about those concerns about the 10 o'clock curfew, particularly in big cities. Some of those I've mentioned already, but in Piccadilly Circus in the capital last night, there were some scenes which have caused some real concern among scientists of people who've left bars and restaurants where perhaps they had been socially distancing only to go outside and, as you can see there from those pictures, enjoying a Saturday night out but with no masks in quite close quarters. And even though they are outside...
They were outside enjoying a Saturday night out, but they had no masks on and they were in quite close quarters in Piccadilly Circus. What are we going to do? This is how they're going to introduce these tougher measures, you see. They're saying that the 10 o'clock curfew, that's just no good, that. Why? Well, because all the little bastards, they leave the pub together and they hang around. They get carry out. They go to the local 7-Eleven. We don't call them 7-Eleven shops in the UK. We've got some terms for those corner shops that, well, I can't use because of political correctness. Well, I wouldn't use anyway, really. Our corner shops are mostly run by gentlemen from the Sikh community or from the Muslim community. So that's what the young blighters are doing. They're getting kicked out of the pubs at 10 and they're like, oh, saw this, I'm still parched. I'm not even nearly as pissed as I want to be. Well, let's go around to Abdul's then and get a carry out. 10 cans of Dutch Gold. You know? And let's just hang around. And the scientists are really concerned about that. Because, you know, ultimately what these kids are doing ultimately is, you know...
Enjoy yourself and kill a granny is the answer.
That's what it is! Grannies. We must protect granny! The average age of somebody dying with COVID, by the way. Do you know how clever the media types are? And the journalists are, even the politicians are, another 15 people died with COVID. Yeah, they haven't got the courage to say died of COVID because nobody can fucking die of COVID. You can't. It's a flu type thing. You can't die of it. You've got to be fairly fecked as it is. 82, average age of somebody dying with coronavirus. That is the madness of it. Let's close the pub at 10 o'clock and stop everybody having a bit of fun. And let's ruin the economy. Why? Well, because Bert, who's got two false fucking hips, who's got a toupee, he's not got his own fucking teeth. He smoked 40 tabs, for the best part of fucking 60 years. We've got to keep Bert alive. We got to keep Bert alive. Yes, so I'm prepared to sacrifice my future. My financial future. I'm prepared to lose my fucking house because I can't meet my mortgage payments. All because Bert, the fucking chain-smoking guy, who's a bit like the $6 million man now, there's so many fucking things in him. Knees and hips and all that. 82? Better give him a few more years, eh? So let's fuck my life up. Yeah, I'm down with that. Marvellous. Don't bother your arse complaining about the language. I've given enough disclaimers. Had an email from somebody whinging about the language the other day. I mostly don't use the language. This is who I am. I get annoyed and I do tend to swear. Let's keep Bert away from the Grim Reaper, eh? Oh, be Jesus. So Andrew Marr then had Peter Horby on. Who the hell is Peter Horby? Well, he's an Oxford epidemiologist and he is the chair of... What? Nerve tag. He's the chair of Nerve Tag. Nerve Tag is the new and emerging respiratory virus threats advisory group. Does he agree with Jean-Claude Van Damme? Well, let's find out. Jonathan Van Tam, does he agree that we're at a tipping point and that, well, we're all going to die? Peter Horby.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with that. The numbers are not looking good at all. We've got increasing cases, increasing hospitalizations, both in younger adults, but also in the elderly, those most at risk. And we are starting to see the numbers of deaths increase as well. So it really is a rather precarious point, I'm afraid.
It's a precarious point. But of course, we are also in a better situation when it comes to treatment and how much we know about the disease, presumably.
Yeah, there's a number of things that put us in a better situation. We have much better testing and tracing capabilities. We have a much better understanding of the disease. And what's great to see is that it appears that the risk of death in hospitalised patients is coming down. It was pretty high at about...
Yeah, the risk of death in hospitalised patients is coming down. It was pretty high. That's because you were intubating people who didn't need to be intubated.
High at about 25-30% in the last wave. And although the data are preliminary, it looks like it's coming down and maybe below 20%. So that's a really positive piece of news.
That is good news. But turning back to the tipping point question, Mr. Van Tam has also suggested we might be close to having to cancel or delay, rather, non-urgent operations across the NHS to stop hospitals being overwhelmed this autumn. Again, what's your view?
Our critical mission really is to protect the NHS, because we can't have a situation like we did back.
I'm not subjecting you to any more of this answer. He comes on to national lockdown. Protect the NHS. Again, this is gaslighting the population. This is inducing a sense of insanity in the individual mind. We begin to think we're going fucking mad. Protect the NHS. Isn't the NHS there to protect us? Surely. Isn't it? Let's lock everybody up and round them so that they don't have to go to hospital. You have Matt Hancock last week saying we might have to cancel non-essential operations again, and we might have to suspend cancer treatments again. Again, this is all, it's, I don't have the term for it. Maybe one hasn't been invented. It's deliberately driving people mad, confusing them, inducing people into thinking that they are losing their minds with this nonsense. Protect the NHS. What the fuck? The NHS is there, should be there, to provide hospital beds and essential treatment for people if they need it, no matter what they have. And this virus hardly kills anybody, but cancer kills nearly everybody. Again, ironically, because of the treatments, I'm well aware of that. Oh, be Jesus. So are we heading for a national lockdown then, Peter?
Talk about difficult choices. Looking at the rate of infection, looking at what's happening in hospitals, do you think we could be facing another national lockdown?
I think that's a possibility, and we have to do what we can to avoid that at all costs. And that's why local measures are being put in place. And I understand, you know, they're difficult local decisions, but what we need to do is to control it where the incidence is the highest. And
yeah, just forget about it. 15 minutes to the top of the hour. Andrew Marr. Did Andrew Marr say to the Oxford epidemiologist, hey, Andrew, hey, Peter, what about Sunetra Gupta, your pal? Same university. She signed the great Barrington Declaration. In fact, she was one of the co-authors. Of course, Andrew Marr didn't say that. Should that be doing your job, wouldn't it? So we never asked him. Again, it's on BBC iPlayer if you think I am taking liberties with the truth. I am not. Mad times. Also in the Telegraph today, doctors' fury at closure of children's accident and emergency services to prepare for the second COVID wave. Yes, you read that right. Paediatricians, clinicians, doctors are screaming bloody murder that they're closing paediatric facilities. Emergency paediatric facilities. Why? Because we're expecting Bert with the fake fucking hips and the toupee and the false teeth, who's 82. Bert might need the fucking bed when he gets COVID. But what about everybody else? Mad. Dr. Yasmin Bakki is quoted by the Telegraph, basically saying this is mental. Seriously ill and injured patients, children, are being turned away from the hospital and having to travel miles for emergency treatment because we're not giving them the services they need because we're waiting for granny and granddad. You know who you're listening to, by the way. Don't start that shit with me. I would do anything to make the winters more bearable for our senior citizens. I love our senior citizens for their knowledge, for their compassion, for their love, for their humane approach to things. The things we can learn from them. I don't want them to fucking die of the flu or COVID. Of course not. But it's inevitable. Some of them are going to die. Tough shit, Paddy. That's how it fucking goes. Closing down emergency facilities because we're waiting for the second wave. And according to the Mail on Sunday, they've banned children from singing happy birthday in classrooms because of COVID. Yes. Children have been told, if you want to sing happy birthday to Mary over there, fucking don't. You could kill Mary's granny. Yes. What are we going to do, sir? You're going to listen to it on YouTube if you want, or you can hum it. That's the official advice. Listen on YouTube or hum. Absolutely. Because singing happy birthday, dear Mary, or whatever the hell, sends spray into the area and the coronavirus droplets hang in the air and go into people's noses and mouths and gives people COVID and then they take it home to granny. They've also told children, don't bring in birthday cakes. Honest to God, I'm not making it up. Don't bring in any birthday cakes or any sweets because they could have COVID in them. Oy, 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 oy. Fucking hell. I never had the pleasure of having happy birthday sung to me at school, by the way, because I was born on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, I was born. And of course, that meant that I got Christmas presents from stingy feckin' relatives. Here you go, Richard. They used to call me Richard, those feckers. Here you go, happy Christmas, and that's for your birthday as well, you tight bastard. I had to put up with all that shite. I had one aunt, God love her. Not an aunt. Not an aunt. What was she? Godparent. And she gave me the same feckin' books every Christmas. I don't know what was going on. Robert Louis Stevenson books, Treasure Island, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, every Christmas. And those are for your birthday as well. Thanks very much. This is in the Sunday Times. Women rush to freeze eggs. Women rush to freeze eggs as coronavirus dries up dating. Oh.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Women are thinking, I'm going to go barren. Women are thinking, this thing is never going to fucking end. I'm never going to get a shag at the rate of things, the way things are going. So I'm going to freeze my eggs. And they quote Kate Davidson, none of this is untrue. You know, this is, that's why I said earlier on, I think I am in some parallel universe. I think I'm in an episode of Black Mirror. Charlie, must be. Jesus, freezing our eggs. Freezing her eggs. So they spoke to Kate. They spoke to Kate. And Kate is 35 from Cheltenham. And she's keeping half of her eggs for the future and giving half away. This is in the Sunday Times. Kate's from Cheltenham. She can't get a date. She can't get a shag. So she's like, I'll freeze half my eggs and I'll give the other half away. Cutting the cost of a process for which there has been a surge in demand since lockdown. Women are freezing their eggs like there's no tomorrow. Because they think there might not be a tomorrow. A big part of me wanted to do this, says Kate, because I wanted to share my eggs. Kate, a commercial director of a crematorium company.
What kind of fuckery are you?
It's no wonder. It's no wonder you can't get a date, Kate. Fucking Morticia Adams over here. Who wants to date someone who works in a crematorium? No thanks. No thanks, love. As gorgeous as you are. Apparently, inquiries have jumped by 50% at some centres over the summer. Honest to God. The London Women's Clinic said interest had jumped to 30% higher than expected. Create Fertility said massive number of inquiries increasing by 24%. Women want to freeze their eggs. And they're going to freeze their eggs, God damn it. Because they can't get a date. Lovely jubbly. Ah, well. Right, that's nearly it for programme. I want to say hi to Phil in Florida, my mate Phil, who's been on the programme. Richie, the mask insanity is the same here in the States. And in Florida, my state, supposedly one of the least restrictive, it seems like the sheeple want to wear their muzzles and be locked down and put their own children through this abuse. There is no fight in the people, Richie. They want this, it seems. You know, to keep us safe. No fight, no self-respect in the people. Yeah, the vast majority. The vast majority. Patrick wants Kate's details if she's a looker, Richie. She works with dead bodies, Patrick. No, I'm not sending you her details. Hi to Just Lou. Lou says, Richie, it's not just COVID. They are terrified of spreading through singing. They are terrified of spreading joy. Pure fucking human joy. Which kills fear stone fucking dead, says Lou. Get out there and sing your little hearts out and don't let the feckers take away anything human that gives you pure joy. Do you remember back at the beginning of this nonsense? They said that members of a choir had died somewhere in America. They died of COVID because they were singing too loudly. This is some crap, this, isn't it? Molly has a birthday on New Year's Day. I empathise, says Molly. Molly, you too know the sting of stingy bastard relatives, eh? Happy Christmas, this is for your birthday. Thanks very much. You don't say that to me, brother, do you? Who was born in February. So why should I have to put up with it? I demand two presents. Lovely. I to David. Richie, it's obvious. The Nazis would have been defeated by 1940 if the Allied forces peacefully disobeyed singing Kumbaya. Please don't, Mr. Hitler. Millions would have been saved. Cheers, David. I appreciate that. Hi to Fabrizio. Fabrizio says, Richie, my niece and nearly 300 pupils have self-isolated over one positive test. Is that right, Fabrizio? Imagine. I have heard rumours, I can't confirm them, I can't endorse them, but I have heard rumours that in Salford, one or two primary schools have sent entire classes home because somebody tested positive. Amazing. Amazing. Okay. All right. Now look, I'm going to close the programme now on a sad note. The Liverpool Echo ran a story on Friday, I do believe. But the story has since disappeared. But it was on the Facebook page of the St. John's Market Traders Facebook group, obviously on Facebook. And the story said that the legendary St. John's Market trader, John Foley, passed away in hospital after suffering with COVID-19. And this was mentioned again on the Facebook, on this Facebook. Jeez, I haven't prepared anything. On the Facebook group for the traders, they confirmed that John Foley had passed away. Now, I didn't know that John had passed away. I didn't know, excuse me, that John was in hospital with coronavirus. But then I went into messages on Twitter and I found a message from John from a few days ago to say that he had gone into hospital and that he wasn't feeling well. So it has been reported by the Liverpool Echo that the St. John's Market trader John Foley has died of coronavirus. And I was terribly sad to hear that. I never met John, but he was on the programme twice. He is very well known. He was very well known and very well respected for taking on human rights causes and taking on and beating Liverpool City Council and their litter enforcement goons. Amazing man. But he was also very well known for taking on the airlines, for running a scam where they would charge astronomical amounts of money for young men and women to come and learn to be flight attendants. Huge scam that, when in reality they knew that there were very, very, very few jobs available for those young men and women. Massive scam. Get their money, get them trained up to be flight attendants, even though there isn't a huge demand for flight attendants. Big scam, big financial scam. He blew the whistle on it because his daughter was caught up in it. He sent toys from his own toy shop, did John, to the families of people affected by the Grenfell disaster. So children who maybe had lost parents or children who'd been traumatised by the Grenfell fire, he sent toys from his own toy shop, which is famous in Liverpool, to Grenfell. He was a lovely man. I never met him. I can't say I knew John very well, apart from coming on the programme. But I loved listening to him, and I was a bit emotional on Friday when I heard the news. So, or yesh de garev anam, as we say in my country. We were planning on going to Liverpool to see him when all of this nonsense ended, to meet him and to shake his hand. So rest in peace, John Foley. And John was a massive, massive Liverpool FC supporter, so in his honour, we're going to close out with the only song we can close out with. And that is, of course, Jerry and the Pacemakers singing their version of You'll Never Walk Alone. So good night to John Foley. And you and I will speak again tomorrow on Monday's Richie Allen Radio Show. Until then, it's bye from me.
When you walk